Praise the Lord. This is Evangelist Julius Adewumi of the Gospel Distribution Ministry. Today I'm going to continue the book of Revelation. We are in Revelation chapter 17. And we shall read. And I pray that the Lord will open your understanding to be able to comprehend this mystery. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Let me stop right there. When the Lord talks about fornication in the Bible, he's actually talking about this time of spiritual fornication. When the nation of Israel, when the Hebrews went and joined themselves to idols, it was called fornication. That is, any time they forsake God, the true God, and take unto themselves a false god and worship that false god, that is called fornication, spiritual fornication. So what God is referring to here is spiritual fornication with the kings of the earth. And we're going to draw some inferences in that, because the body of Christ, the church of the living God, is not to come, is, you are told that in the Bible, that be not conformed to this world. So when any church or individual person, which are we are the church of Christ, begin to dance to the tune of the kings of the earth, that is in itself fornication, because they are now worshipping those rulers and kings instead of fearing God and worshipping God. So let's go ahead now and see what the Bible is going to interpret for us here, because this whole chapter 17 is in symbols. And here it goes, verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Let me stop right there. The Bible calls it mystery, which means this whole symbol that is being shown to us here is in symbology, is in mystery. It has to be decoded, it has to be interpreted. And when the Bible called this woman Babylon the Great, and we know what Babylon was in that generation, there was a city called Babylon that conquered Israel. That was the city of Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian. Now, that city, long time, before this Bible was written, must have been overcome and overthrown by another kingdom. So God was not referring to the city of Nebuchadnezzar called Babylon. But so this is to be called a mystery, Babylon the Great. So which means, and I want you to also know that when God is talking, God is dealing in all the spiritual world and the physical world and any world that is. Because God can see the spiritual world and can also see the physical world. We are limited to the physical world, but God sees them all. And God sees the influence that the spiritual world is having upon the physical world. Because there is nothing major upon this earth that is happening that are not being spearheaded by some spirits. Especially satanic spirits, they are ruling the nations. So that is when God is dealing, when God is talking, actually in prophecy, he is talking both to the physical and the spiritual world. Because he has given his word to every living thing. And all living must obey his word. When those spirits, satanic spirits that are ruling the nations, when they are doing evil, God is going to judge them. When the physical people now are doing evil, God is going to judge them also. So the physical and the spiritual will be judged together. So when God is talking about mystery, Babylon the Great, to us, we know about the city of Babylon, but God is also talking in the spiritual world also, which means the spirit that was ruling in Babylon in the days of Nebuchadnezzar has been the same spirit that has moved around and moved over to another city that is being represented here. And we will see what that city is here at the end of this chapter in a moment. But it's the same spirit, and God knows what he's talking about when he is using the same symbol, Babylon the Great. It may not be the same physical city, but the same spirit has moved around and is now ruling this city. Okay, let's go ahead and see. So he called him Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Verse 6, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Now, the Bible said this woman was drunken with the blood of the saints and martyrs of Jesus. That is going to be a clue for us to be able to identify what woman we are talking about here, what city that woman represents, because the angel said that woman is a city in the next verse, in the last verse. Let's go on. Verse 7, and the angel said unto me, wherefore did thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which has the 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Now let's stop right there. What does that mean to say the beast was and is not? Just like I said before, I said God is talking in the spirit world and in the physical world. So when he's talking about a beast that was and now is not available, it's not around, then it's coming back again, God was actually talking of the spirit that has been upon the earth, a spirit that has been ruling the nations, and it was upon the earth before. That is the satanic spirit, and that spirit has been locked up in the bottomless pit, because the Bible says it came out of the bottomless pit. That's when he says it's not, but it's going to be around again when he was released out of the bottomless pit. That evil spirit is going to be ruling another nation, another country, another city, and that is what is being represented here as Babylon. That city, the new city, will be called Babylon. And this is, it's not going to be called physically Babylon, but God is using Babylon to represent the same, because it's the same spirit that was ruling Babylon in the days of Nebuchadnezzar that has moved around after it has been locked up in the bottomless pit. By the time it's going to be released, it's going to come to another city and take over there also. And we will see the similarity in what this beast does and what he did in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. The same beast, the same spirit, and the same spirit is going to do the same similar thing in this new place, in the end of the world. That's what the Bible is trying to reveal to us. That's why it was called Babylon, this mystery. Verse 8, the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which has wisdom. The angel is going to tell us the meaning right now. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman seated. Now, we in the last verse, we know what the woman represented. But here he said the 7 heads are 7 mountains. But that's not the only thing that the 7 heads represent. Let's read on. And verse 10 says, and there are 7 kings. You see, the heads also represented those kings too. 5 are fallen and 1 is. And the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. Now, and verse 11 says, and the beast that was and is not, even he is the 8th, and is of the 7, and goeth into perdition. Now, this is a mystery, and I'm going to explain to you in a moment the way the Lord has revealed it to us. And this is talking about the kingdoms of the world. The kingdoms of the world, from the first kingdom that has set itself upon the earth, till the end of the world, there have been several mighty major kingdoms that rule the world. That's what we mean right now when we say the kingdoms of the world. And we have been able to count, we can look back into history and be able to count major kingdoms that have ruled the whole world at one time or the other. Not small, small kingdoms that are just isolated from the main one. We are talking of the major one that ruled all of them. We know in the history that there was Mesopotamian kingdom that most likely started long time around the time of Nimrod in the book of Genesis. And after that, we knew about the Egyptian Empire. Mesopotamian Empire was the perhaps the first major one that was known in history of mankind. Then we have the Egyptian Empire. And then after the Egyptian Empire, we have the empire that we can say maybe the Assyrian Empire. We don't know how long that lived. The Assyrian and the Babylonian Assyrian Empire seems to transfer back into Babylonian Empire of Nebuchadnezzar, who also ruled your world. So we have three like that, and then we have, after Nebuchadnezzar, we have the Medo-Persian Empire, which is the fourth kingdom. And after Medo-Persian Empire that conquered Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, we have the Grecian Empire. That was what Daniel was prophesying in his books, that the Grecian Empire will come after the Nebuchadnezzar and the two Medo-Persians. That's the fifth kingdom. And after the Grecian Empire came the Roman Empire. So the Roman Empire actually ruled the world for a long time, and then it broke apart. And after the Roman Empire has broken apart, we can say it looks like every kingdom is just by themselves right now. And let's go back to the Bible and see what the Bible is saying. The Bible said when John the Revelator was writing this book, the angel was talking about the kingdoms of the world. And he told John, I said, there are seven kings. Five of them have already fallen, so we can count five empires already gone from the world. He said one is currently reigning, which is the Roman Empire was reigning as the Roman Empire. And then he said the next one is yet to come, but it will last a little while. And we can say, what empire was that? They last a little while, and then will come the eighth empire. Really, that's what the Bible angel was saying. And this eighth empire will be one of the seven ones. We come back. Now God is talking about spirits coming back to the world to rule the world. Not that a kingdom that has been destroyed will suddenly be, and that is what it means actually. A kingdom that was destroyed that suddenly comes back will look like it may change its name, but it's like a kingdom again. But it's actually a spirit that God is talking about here. So when we look at it and compare that with the book of Daniel, we can see that at the end of the world there will be several kingdoms that are all fragmented into pieces. Like Daniel said, at the foot and toes of the image of Nebuchadnezzar, there will be several kings. But in the days of those kings, God set up his own kingdom. Now, this angel was saying there are six kingdoms. The five have already fallen. The one is, and the next one is not yet to come. And after he came, it's going to be short. Then there will be the eighth empire. And this eighth empire is what is the beast itself. It's going to come back from the bottomless pit to possess and rule the world in the eighth empire of the world. And we can say from the Bible, from the time of the Roman Empire that broke into pieces, it looked like there were, what empire was around? We have the British, the Germans, the French, that suddenly dominated the whole world by colonizing all countries in the centuries gone by. And we can say they actually almost formed another empire, which would have been the sixth empire, or the seventh. That would have been the seventh empire. And then the Bible said they would continue just for a little while, and then after a while would be the eighth empire, which is the Antichrist himself, that will come from the bottomless pit and enter into this world and rule the nations again. And that's exactly what this thing is talking about. You may have to take your pen and do some research yourself if you are a Bible scholar, and look into the history and see the kingdoms of the world that have taken place. And when you look at it, you may say, when can we say the Mesopotamian Empire really started with, and there have been history that have been dictated, and when they are around, there were some other small empires also. We only think that was the major one. In the days of the Roman Empire, Egyptian Empire was also the only that they have been subdued, not as big as when they were the major empire in the days of the pharaohs. So there will be some smaller empires. Like now, we say the British, maybe the British is the empire that will look like the seventh, or is it the French? But it looks like most of the colonies, there are more colonies for British that make them the British Empire than the French. But during the time of the British, there are also the French, there are also the small empires that all form different things. But they are all classified as empires in their generation, and they also having wars with one another. Now, let's go ahead and read more what the angel is trying to tell us here. The angel was trying to lead us to a particular thing, to a particular revelation. So not just talking about empires now, but the angel is trying to lead us to a particular revelation. And he said in verse 12, "And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast." Now he talks about ten kings. Now let's talk about this beast that has ten horns, and then as they are said to be ten kings. When in the book of Revelation chapter 13, we have actually seen the same beast with seven heads and ten horns. And when we describe it in the book of Revelation chapter 13, we pointed to the European countries, European empire. Really, it was the Roman Empire that broke into pieces and formed the European countries that we know of now. British, French, Swedish, Germans, even up to the Russians were also part of the Roman Empire. They broke into the east part of it, and then you have the western part. So all of those things were all part of Europe. And the angel is saying that beast actually is representing, seven heads and ten horns is representing actually the European kingdoms that are joined together. And we can now see at the end of this world that we can see the European kingdoms coming together again. And they were formerly fragmented into east and west during the Second World War. Now at the end of the world, they are coming together again like a wound that was healed. And you can see that in the book of Revelation chapter 13, that this beast has a deadly wound that was healed. One of the heads was wounded and now healed. That is representing, like we say in the book of in the chapter we are talking about, chapter 13, that represented many things. It could represent the Eastern Europe and the Western Europe joining together again like we have now in NATO. That's the healing of the deadly wound. We can also talk about the German country, Germany, that was broken into pieces in the Second World War. They are back together. Deadly wound healed. So in many ways, that is what it means. I know many preachers have tried to say this Antichrist man who is going to be possessed by the devil will resurrect as if he's killed and resurrected like Jesus Christ resurrected. That mean it's not really what this will be representing. Maybe that will occur, but that is not what this is telling us, because the beast itself is kingdom rather than just a single person. Of course, when the devil possesses the leader of that kingdom, that will be the one that is doing all of this. But God is talking about king, a beast that represented a kingdom, like in the image of Nebuchadnezzar that he saw. All the prophecies of the book of Daniel was seeing beasts, and every beast was told to Daniel that each beast represented a kingdom, not just one man, but a kingdom. There will be a head for the kingdom, of course. Like Alexander the Great was the first king of the beast that was said to be a goat with one horn. So all of we are saying is that this is symbolic and it's a mystery. And I pray the Lord will open your understanding to understand how I'm explaining this, so that we can begin to watch the politics that's going on in the world, because they are already prophesied here in the Bible that this is how it will be at the end of the world. It's all the politics, the world politics that you see right now in the news. It's all that have been summarized here for us, how it will happen at the end. But as they are closing up, the kingdom of God will also be setting itself up, where Christ is going to take the Christians away in rapture, and then the world will be destroyed, as the Bible has said. Now, he said those ten horns, they are ten kings. In the days of John the Revelator, those kings have not arrived, have not been reigning yet. Almost like saying, in the days of John the Revelator, we don't have kings, places like King England, France. There's nothing like that in the days of John the Revelator. But he said they will arrive at the end of the world and they will reign with one hour with the Antichrist, with the beast. That is when this satanic spirit coming from the bottomless pit is reigning upon the earth, these kings will also be around them. And we can see that right now, that the world is set up for a stage is set right now in the world for that. They have the European Economic Community, where so many countries in Europe have one single currency, like one single country. And that is preparing the place for a single leader that this Antichrist spirit from the bottomless pit will possess and rule the world through one single leader. So that won't be so many countries trying to argue with one another, but they will have one single leader, and that will be the leader that the Antichrist will possess. And that the stage is set for that right now in our generation. Now let's go on and see again verse 14. Verse 13 says, these ten kings have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Now you see what I'm saying? When they were trying to form the European Economic Community, some countries said, well, we don't want to lose our sovereignty as a nation. And little by little, they convinced them and they give in to this unity and that union of European countries to form this economic community. Is exactly being represented in this particular agreement. The Bible said they will agree, they have one mind to agree and give their power unto the beast. That is, they will all give their sovereignty away to have one single head And this beast will now take over and rule from that one single head. Verse 14. So these 10 kings, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Now, why was this one put there? How will these kingdoms of the world make war with the Lamb of God? The Lamb is representing the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that Christ is right now in heaven. But anytime these kings are waging war against the saints of God, they are waging war against Christ. You have to remember that. Anytime they are persecuting the saints, they are actually persecuting Christ. Like we know the Bible said to Apostle Paul, Paul, Saul, why persecuted thou me? And he thought he was persecuting the Christians. Yes, Christ said you are persecuting him. So all these 10 kings, as when they begin to persecute, or they already persecuted, or they have persecuted the Christians, in the days of the Roman Empire, this Roman Empire, the emperors, persecuted the believers in Christ. So they wage war against Christ. At the end of the world, this Antichrist beast will take over Europe also and rule the world, and also persecute the true believers. It might be through their own one world religion. Maybe they will sanction, like they sang in the Roman Empire, they sanction the Catholicism to be the national religion, and those other denominations that do not agree with the Catholicism or try to point to Catholicism as false were persecuted and arrested and beheaded. And that was how the Roman Catholicism covered the whole of Europe with the power of the government. And the papacy began almost reign over Europe for centuries. But that changed when God was about to change things, and that changed from the time of the Reformation. But now the Bible angel is saying the same thing here, that these 10 kings, which are these countries of the world, these European countries, they wage war against the Lamb, means they persecuted the Christians, they are persecuting Christ. But he said Christ will overcome them. He said they that are with Christ are chosen, they are called, they are chosen, and they are faithful. And we overcome, even if we buy, if we are killed and we die for Christ, we overcome them still, if we do not deny Christ. That's what it's saying here. If you don't deny Christ, you are overcoming the devil. As long as you stand firm, you are overcoming the devil. As long as you stand firm in Christ and do not deny Christ, you are an overcomer. Verse 15. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the world seated, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues, which means this beast will rule the world, all languages, all countries. And we can see that the Western Europe seems to be ruling in the days of the colonies. They were ruling all the colonies. And that was all in the 1600, in the 1400 AD, 15, 16, 1700 AD, the European countries were colonizing the whole world, from the east and to the west, up through even the American continents were colonized by the European countries. Every part of the world was colonized by the European countries. That is what the angel was prophesying 2,000 years ago, that these kings, they were sitting on all waters and all languages and all people, until everybody began to take their independence from them. And even then, even though they have taken independence, these Western countries are still, in a way, by economic situations and by business, they are still controlling the world by industry. Verse 15 says that, and he said unto me, the waters without source, where the all seated, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. Now you have to remember, the beast is one thing, the whore is just a city, like you say in the next verse. And these kings, he said, these 10 horns, which are kings, will eat that whore, which is they will hate the city, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. That is prophesying of a war where they will destroy that city that we are going to talk about in a moment. For God has put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Now, what is this city that we are talking about in the verse 16? Says, and the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigned over the kings of the earth. What great city was reigning in the days of John the Baptist, John the Revelator? It was Rome, the Roman Empire. And why would God be talking so much about Rome like this? Because the Roman Empire was dominating the world then. The Roman Empire was not only dominating the world, was persecuting the Christians in those generations.
And the Roman Empire arrested Apostle John and sent John on exile outside the empire. So you now see, when God was talking, he has a reason to be saying, to be talking much about the Roman Empire that persecuted Christians all over that century, in all those dark ages, until another emperor rose up and said he would become a Christian, and he became a Christian, and very soon, in a way, they turned Catholicism into the national religion, and it looked like a Christianity, but it was mixed up with idolatry. So that was what was going on in that generation. And when God was talking that they claim to be worshipping something, but it is fornication, you can see why God called it fornication. Because they claim to, they said they are going to worship this Christ, but they mix it with idols. They are now worshipping a woman called the Queen of Heaven. And they say that is Mary. But Mary was not Queen of Heaven. So it was all idolatry mixed up. That's why God called it fornication. And murder of Allos will be revealed in another place, because he said they are murder, not only Allos, they are also murder of Allos, because over the years, other denominations came out of Catholicism and they also did the same kind of a thing. They joined themselves to governments of the world. And in many ways, all the denominations that are lukewarm and organized, they all became aligned with governments of the world, worshipping the kings of the earth, Anglican or Methodist or Presbyterian or Lutheran. In the end, they all finally came back and become part of the governments of the world. So that was why God called them daughters of the same Allot. But God still has his own people, calling them one by one. They don't have to have a name of a congregation, but you as an individual, you can belong to Jesus Christ. You can be acceptable by Christ, and God is calling you unto himself. Come out of her, my people. You will see that in chapter 18, when God called his individual people out, not an organization of a church. Individual. You that is listening to me, whether you are Catholic or you are Methodist or you are Pentecostal, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, read your Bible and understand it yourself, you will see that there are many practices in your denomination that is not in the Bible. Then forsake that type of practice and forsake that type of congregation and turn to Jesus and follow the Bible yourself. Follow the New Testament. Obey it. Because it is the word of God that is going to judge every man. Christ said, the word I speak to you, they shall be your judge on that day. So, and forsake all those idolatry of bowing down to statues that they practice in the Catholicism, and kissing the hand of the reverend. Also, those are all those things that the Bible, if you look at the Bible, you see the Lord Jesus condemn it in many ways. Condemn it for the Pharisees. Why will you do it in this generation? God is calling you unto himself. Christ is redeeming you unto himself. And it's very important for you to take note of that. And I'm praying right now for you that the Lord will open your understanding to be able to see all of these things that we are reading and explaining to you. And if you are listening to me, you are not even a Christian, I challenge you to accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior right now. He is the only way. He is the only Savior of the world. And as we have seen the kingdoms of this world forming themselves to the end and trying to, and they're going to destroy themselves in the end, the Bible says, in the days of all these many, numerous kings, the God of heaven will set up his own kingdom that will destroy them all. And God is setting his own kingdom, calling Christians unto himself, moving them up closer and closer, and he's calling you also to come up higher so that you can come to the fullness of the stature of Christ. And after that, the world will come to an end, because God is going to destroy them all. He will bring all of them to come to Armageddon, to come and fight against Jerusalem, to battle. And then God will come down from the sky and destroy them all. And then this world will be given to the saints of the Most High forever and ever. That is the book, that is the word that has been written in the books, in the book of Daniel. Bible said that the people of the saints of the Most High shall take over the kingdom of the earth and possess it forever and ever. And it's also a mark in the book of Revelation that we are talking about. Because God is going to let the Antichrist destroy himself and the world. And not all will destroy, God will save some. And then those, as we see Christ come from the sky, we start a new world. And there will be 1,000 years in. We are going to get into that in chapter 20. And let's go and just pray for you right now. Father, I pray for all the people that are listening. Open their understanding that they might believe, and that they might quicken their pace and look unto Jesus, who is the hope and the author and the finisher of our faith, in the name of Jesus Christ. Write to us, and we shall send you some exhortation that will help you more. Evangelist Julius Adeyemi,
Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050, USA.
On the internet, www.gospeldistribution.org, gospeldistribution.org. You can send us email. Send email to webmaster@gospeldistribution.org. God bless you.